Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for your worship this morning. It's good for us to declare the love of God together this morning. We've seen it in action already. We've seen the evidence of it, and it's good for us to declare the truth of it together this morning as a people and to remind ourselves of God's great love for us. So the other day I was listening to a podcast, and it was Ed Stetzer. It was the Ed Stetzer Leadership Podcast, Church Leader Podcast. So you don't even need to know that. Why not even say that? I want to tell you about the person that was being interviewed. His name was Vance Pittman, and Vance Pittman was a church planner in the Las Vegas area, and he's now the president of the Sin Network, which is a church planning and an evangelism organization. But he was talking to Ed Stetzer, and he was telling this story, and I wanted to share it with you. So. So he had been a church planter in Las Vegas. He had been working tirelessly for 13, 14 years on this church, and God had done tremendous things in the life of that church, people coming to know Jesus, the church growing, all kinds of good things happening in his church and in his life there in Las Vegas, and he was working hard, right, for the gospel. And he's talking about this one night where he came home and he was eating dinner with his family, and as he was eating dinner with his family, he just noticed something was wrong. Like He couldn't focus on anything that anybody was saying. He was even having trouble finishing his own sentence. He just felt exhausted, like something was terribly wrong. And so he finished eating dinner, early. This was early in the evening, and he immediately, just as soon as dinner was over, he went upstairs, he went to bed, and he slept for 8 days. 8 days he slept. He would wake up for just a few minutes at a time, long enough to eat something, and he would just fall back asleep. He could just barely wake up. He couldn't even get out of bed. 8 days he slept almost solid for 8 days. And what he was talking about on the podcast was that he had been doing all of this work for the Lord. He had been struggling, striving to do all this work for the Lord, and he had reached this point of exhaustion. He wasn't even aware that he was at that point of exhaustion, right? But he had reached this point of exhaustion. He was completely worn out. And he actually wrote a book. If you're in the notes in YouVersion, if you go to the Bible app on your phone and you click on events, you'll see First Shallow Water there, and you'll see there's notes for this morning's message. There's also a link to it, a QR code on the program that you received when you came in. If you're looking at those notes, there's actually a link in the notes to the podcast and to the book that he wrote. It's called something like the Stress-Free Life or something like that is the book that he wrote. So anybody who's like me is like, yeah, you need to tell me about the Stress-Free Life because I never heard of that, right? Check out his book. It's a fascinating book. He talked about it on the podcast. But as I was listening to his story, I thought to myself, man, there have been times in my life where I felt that way. Like, I can remember a couple of times in my life where literally, I mean physically, I was completely worn out. I was completely used up. I was having trouble just getting out of bed, walking across the room. Felt exhausting to me. I've reached that point in my own life where I felt like I was totally at the end of my rope, spiritually, mentally, physically, right? Anybody been there? Anybody ever experienced that where you just feel like you're spent and used up and worn out and you don't have anything left to give? Maybe there's somebody here and that's where you are this morning. Maybe somewhere on the live stream. Maybe someone out there who's listening to this message this morning, you say, yes, Pastor, that's right where I am. I feel exactly like that. I feel like I can't take another step forward. I'm exhausted. I'm worn out. Well, if that's where you are this morning, I just want to say, I believe that the Lord has some really good news for you. We've spent the past several weeks in Psalm chapter 23, and Psalm 23 has a lot to say to those of us who feel strung out, stressed out, exhausted, and weak. And so I want to let the words of the 23rd Psalm minister to you and minister to us together as a people this morning. Would you stand with me? We're going to read the words of the 23rd Psalm together as an act of worship. Okay, and then we're going to continue on together in worship. But read these words with me from the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you. You can be seated. Let me pray for us. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to us, would speak to us today. I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts together would bring honor and glory to you this morning. This is your word for us. I pray you'd help it to sink into our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been talking together about the 23rd Psalm, and we've been kind of going through it together. And here's the thing, what we believe is that God wants to pour out his grace and his mercy on us in a way that's just overflowing and overwhelming. And so this morning, what I want for you to hear is that the love of God, God desires to pour himself out into your life. More than you can imagine, more than you can contain even. And so what does that look like? How does that happen? That's what we're talking about in this series. And we're going to focus in this morning on chapter 3 of Psalm 23. So let's look together at Psalm 23:3. It says this. It says, he renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. So there's several things that I believe this passage has to say to us about God and about his character. And I want us to dig into those this morning because I know there's some folks out there in our congregation this morning. There's some people in the live stream, and you need to hear these truths about who God is. The first one is this. God renews. God renews. The psalmist, he sums up in this the first part of verse 3, he sums up what he's just said. Right before this, he talks about how God's our good shepherd, how he leads us to green pastures. He causes us to lie down in security next to peaceful streams, right? And he says all of that, and then he says after that, he says, he renews, he restores my strength, he restores my soul, is what some of your translations might say. And so some of us, we find this morning, our strength is running out, we're stressed out, we're worn out, we're exhausted, we're striving, and the more we work, the harder we work to be the people that we believe God wants us to be, the harder we work to be the people that our spouses want us to be, who our children need us to be, who our employer wants us to be, the harder we work to do all of that stuff, the more we find ourselves wrung out. And we need rest, we need renewal. And here's the truth. From the Word of God this morning, God, our shepherd, wants to lead us into rest. That's his desire. That's what the Word of God says to us this morning. And here's something else that you need to know, and please hear me when I say this. We can't find rest and renewal apart from Christ. Here's a truth that I need for you to hear this morning. And some of us know it because we're experiencing it right now. Effort apart from Christ will only wear us out. Renewal is found only in Jesus Christ. Here's what you need to know. Think about this. The water and the food, right? The psalmist says, he leads me into green pastures. He causes me to lie down next to refreshing, peaceful streams, right? That's what the psalmist says. But understand, the psalmist is also saying that the food and the water that the shepherd has led him to were not the source of his renewal. God renews my strength. That's what he says. And the same is true for you and I. The problem is that you and I think of renewal as something that we can access through all kinds of things that exist on this earth. We think, man, if I could just get an extra few days of vacation. Let me testify to the fact that vacation does not produce renewal. Okay? Anybody else need a nap after vacation? Anybody else come back from vacation and be like, I'm so glad I get to go back to work so I can rest, right? We think, man, if I could just make a little bit more money, I could relax, right? If I could just put my family in a little bit better of a position, I could rest. And we're seeking rest and we're seeking renewal in all of these places. Some of us think, man, if I could just get into a healthy relationship, a healthy romantic relationship with a member of the opposite sex, that would solve all of my problems. That's what we think. If I could just have a good, healthy dating relationship. That's where we want to find our rest and renewal. And some of us are like, man, if my marriage was what, if my husband would just be the person that he's supposed to be and not the jerk that he is, I could find rest and renewal, right? If my wife would just be the person that she's supposed to be instead of nagging me all the time, right? And then I would be able to rest. I would be able to be renewed. And we're looking for our renewal, for our rest from another person, and we can't find it there. It's unfair for us to put that on them. They can't do that for you. No one can do that for you. Only Christ. Only Christ Jesus. Renewal is found in Him, and He wants to give it to you today. That's the truth of God. If we'll surrender to Him, if we'll surrender ourselves to Him, God will renew us. That's what His promise is. But let me ask you this. I want you to imagine a bunch of sheep, okay, laying out in a pasture. And we talked about this a little bit last week. Imagine a bunch of sheep laying out in a pasture, and they're just, you know, sometimes my dog, Dallas, whenever she's resting, you know what she does? She lays flat on her back, right? Legs just, you know what I'm talking about? Just in a complete rest, okay? I want you to imagine a bunch of sheep like that, out in the middle of the pasture, just on their backs, just lounging, limbs outstretched, right? Hanging out. I want you to imagine a shepherd walking by and asking them, can I get anything for you? Do you need anything? Let me give you some grass. Let me pluck this grass up here. Would you like some grass? Imagine a shepherd with a big palm frond walking around, fanning the sheep. Are you guys okay? How are we doing today? You know, was there anything else I can get you? You know? Sometimes when we read the 23rd Psalm, we think, we put ourselves in the position of the sheep, right? But we imagine the sheep at some like all-inclusive resort in Cancun, right? That's what we imagine. And we're like, the Lord God wants to lead me. He wants to lead me to the beach, right? He wants to cause me to stretch out on a recliner at the beach under a cabana with a drink with an umbrella in it. He wants to lead me to the beach. That's what we think when we read that passage. That's what we imagine the Lord God wants to do for us. And friends, that is not the image that the psalmist is using at all here. Shepherds would lead their sheep to places where there was green grass. They would lead their sheep to places where there was safe access to water. Why? Why would they do that? Because they need for those sheep to eat and to drink and to rest so that they can get up the next day and they can go to the next place. There's a place the shepherd wants to lead the sheep, and he needs for them to be strong enough to go there. And that's why he leads them to places of renewal. Hear me, God wants to renew you today. He wants to strengthen you today. Why? Why does God want to do that? Not so you can live a life of leisure and plenty, right? And prosperousness. That's not his plan. He loves to bless you. He loves to give you good gifts. But that's not why he leads you to places of rest and renewal. He leads you to places of rest and renewal because there's something he wants to accomplish in your life. Because there's something he wants to do in your life. Because there's a place he knows you are about to go, and you're going to need the strength and you're going to need the rest that you've received. That's what renewal is about. But the thing is, like, rest and renewal has everything to do with being in his presence. The shepherd is walking with the sheep. He's going with the sheep. So the shepherd knows, right? He knows when those sheep are getting worn out and exhausted. He knows when they need to stop and rest. He knows when he needs to get them to the green pastures because he's with them. He's walking with them. He's understanding it because he's right there among them. And that's what the Lord God is doing in your life. He knows when you need rest. He knows when you need renewal. And if you'll trust him, if you'll follow him, if you'll choose to go with him, he will lead you in that cycle of work and rest that you need. I used to have a coach when I played football in high school. We had one crazy coach. Every team has this. Every football team has this. You have a lot of really sane coaches, and then you have one crazy one, right? And every team has this. Our crazy coach, he was younger than some of the other coaches. When we would run wind sprints at the end of practice, that coach was on the line with us, man. And the coach blow his whistle. That coach was running all the wind sprints with us at the end of practice. Now, let me just say, he hadn't participated in all the stuff that we were doing during practice, okay? So All right? But I did respect the fact that he was running with us, right? And I felt like that the other coaches, the head coach, because he was out there running with us, when that coach started to get gassed, he would be like, well, it's time to stop, right? Because I don't want these kids to see my assistant coach puking on the field. And so, but he was running with us, right? He wasn't standing on the sidelines watching us run the wind sprints. He was running them with us. And so we had respect for that guy because he was out there feeling what we were feeling, experiencing what we were experiencing. And friends, I need you to know that's who God is. That's who God is in Christ Jesus. Hebrews, we just talked about this passage of Scripture, but we don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with us. We have one who was tempted in every way. He went through all of the same things that you and I have experienced and yet was without sin. He walks with us through our lives. He's not distant and separated from us. He knows when we need rest. He knows when we need renewal. He will lead us to it if we'll let him. God renews. But God also guides. The second part of this passage says, he guides me along right paths. He guides me along right paths. And so God's leadership, here's what we need to know. That word that's translated guide there, it's the Hebrew word naha, not aha, right? Naha. Right? And that word in the Hebrew, it refers to God's guidance of Israel. It's used several times when to talk about how the Lord guided Israel in the desert, in the wilderness. And so if you look at Exodus chapter 13, you'll see a place where this same word is used. Okay, so Exodus chapter 13, beginning with verse 21, here's what it says. It says, the Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night. And so the psalmist wants to use this word because he knows that it'll direct people's attention right back to this, the history that they've experienced, right, of God's leadership and God's guidance when they were in the desert. And he says, look, the same guidance God gave to Israel, he's given to me. He wants to give it to you. And so there's some things that we can learn about God's guidance from this passage. The first one is God's leadership is always accompanied by God's presence. God never leads you to a place where he has not already been and where he is not going to go. That's who God is. God's leadership is always accompanied by God's presence. God goes with those that God leads. And that's good news for you and I this morning, because we know that if we're walking with Christ, wherever it is that we're going, we don't go there alone. If you feel lost, if you feel alone this morning, if you feel exhausted, worn out, the God of creation wants his presence to be with you. He wants to lead you by walking with you into the promises that he has for you. That's where he's leading. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15 says this. It says, with your unfailing love, 15:13. It says, with your unfailing love, you lead the people you have redeemed. In your might, you guide them to your sacred home. And so here's something else we can learn about God's leadership, God's guidance. God's guidance is supported by God's strength. God's not just directing us. God is walking with us, leading us. His power and his might are with us. Here's something else. God's guidance is motivated by God's unfailing love. He's leading you and guiding you because he loves you. That's what we read in Scripture. God's purposes for you are good. He wants for his love to move you into his promises for you. And this word, naha, it also refers to God's leadership, particularly when Israel was in danger, particularly when they were threatened by their enemies. And so the implication here in this passage is that God acknowledges that we're going to go through difficult seasons. We're going to go through times where we're in danger, but his presence will go with us. He will be leading us with his presence through even those difficult, painful, and dark times. We're going to talk more about that next week. But God wants to lead us through hardship and danger that we often face. But listen, here's the thing, and I need you to hear this. God's guidance requires our submission. You hear me? God can't lead us unless we are surrendered to him. That's not who God is. Y'all, God doesn't grab us by the ear like an angry parent and pull us to where he wants for us to go. God doesn't do that. God doesn't put a hook in our nose and yank us and pull us where he wants us to go. That's not who God is. God will ask us to submit to him, to surrender our will, our desires, to surrender those to him. And when we do, he will lead us along right paths, right? He'll lead us to the good places. He'll lead us into his promises. So the right paths doesn't mean, right paths doesn't mean roads that lead to right places. That's not the implication of this verse. It also doesn't mean like right paths doesn't mean moral goodness. That's not what the psalmist is referring to. Let me give you the best illustration that I know of what the psalmist is saying in this verse. One time, Sadie and I went to Palo Duro Canyon together, okay? Amy was at work and Carson was doing her thing. One day, it was in the summer, and so Sadie and I, by ourselves, we went to Palo Duro Canyon for the day. And what we were going to do is we were going to take this trail that kind of switchbacks down to the bottom of the canyon. I don't know, some of you guys may have walked this trail. It switchbacks down to the bottom of the canyon, comes back out. It's about a mile long, okay? But because Sadie was hiking with me, we missed a turn on that trail, and we ended up hiking like 3 or 4 miles all the way around the rim of the canyon, all the way eventually descending down to the theater, the amphitheater, where they actually have Texas, right? Like, that's how far we went. And then we had to go back all the way. Like, it was incredible, unbelievable day. And so there were lots of times we were on that trail. I had no idea where we were. And there was this one time we had to walk across this area where, like, the you know, it was steep down, hundreds of feet on either side. And there was kind of a narrow trail that we were walking on. We're walking across that thing, and I am literally sweating. Like, I'm breaking out in anxious sweat. And I'm sure that Sadie's hand was just being crushed and mashed as I led her across there because I was terrified that my daughter was going to fall off of there. There was even one time we had to walk down this really steep, you know, descent, and I was like, I've got to hold your hand. Well, I fell and almost drug her all the way down to, it was unbelievable. But Sadie was just like, woohoo, you know, this is amazing. She was having a blast. She was never worried, not one second, except for maybe when I fell. Every other time, she wasn't worried at all. You know why? The reason was because she was walking with me, because she trusted me. Because she knew I was going to lead her to the places that she needed to go. She didn't ask me what the destination was. She didn't ask me where we were headed. She didn't want to know every step of the way where we were going on the journey. She was just hanging out with me. She was just spending time with me. We were just walking together. Now, her trust was severely misplaced on that day. Let me say that. But the Lord God is not like that at all. His purposes, his plans for us are good. What he wants for us to do is to quit asking where we're headed, to stop demanding to know where all the way stations are on the journey or what it's going to look like wherever it is that we're going. What he wants is for us to be more concerned with his presence than we are our destination. Are we willing to walk with God? If we'll surrender, if we'll submit to him, if we'll just take joy in being in his presence, he will lead us along right paths. The right paths are the ones where his feet are falling. That's what right paths are. He'll lead us. He'll guide us along right paths. So God guides, but listen to this, God remains. God remains. This is so important. Listen, do you know what... the city of Philadelphia. Did you know that Philadelphia is a Greek word? Do you know what Philadelphia means? You know what it means? It means city of brotherly love. Let me just say, I have never been to a place more inaccurately named than Philadelphia. There was not a moment of my time in Philadelphia that I experienced brotherly love. Not one moment. Not one moment. Now, to be fair, I was wearing a Cowboys jersey, and that was a bad idea. But I didn't experience brotherly love in Philadelphia. Every person I ran into in Philadelphia, every person seemed anxious. They seemed angry. They felt like they were about to snap. Like, everywhere I went, I remember a waitress chasing us. We were a bunch of high school kids chasing us out of a restaurant one time because she felt like we didn't leave her enough of a tip, you know? And I was like, I thought 15% was the guide. I didn't know. But everybody was angry. Everybody was furious. Everybody was on edge everywhere I went. And no one was polite. Everyone seemed annoyed all the time. I didn't experience brotherly love in Philadelphia. It was totally inaccurately named. But what the psalmist is saying in this passage, is that God will act in accordance with his name. God will live out who his name says he is. God is steadfast. God can be trusted. God is faithful. In Psalm chapter 31, he says it another way. Listen, Psalm 31, verse 1 says, O Lord, I've come to you for protection. Don't let me be disgraced. Save me, for you do what is right. Turn your ear to listen to me. Rescue me quickly. Be my rock of protection, a fortress where I will be safe. You are my rock and my fortress. For the honor of your name, lead me out of this danger. And what the psalmist is saying is, look, I know what your name is. I know who you are. You are the one who is faithful, who never abandons us, whose love is always pursuing us. You are the one who never leaves me alone. I know who you are. I know what your character is. Act in accordance with your character. And what the psalmist is saying in this passage is that's what God always does. God is who he is. He always is who he is. I am who I am. That's what the Lord God says. And he can be trusted. He is faithful. He never abandons us. He is always with us. Our God remains. And some of us this morning, we're exhausted. We're exhausted because we just can't rest in the knowledge that God is good. We can't surrender to God in faith. And God's calling us. He's calling you into his presence, into his heart. He's inviting you to know him and to rest in his faithfulness. That's who he is. That's who he's always been. It's who he always will be. So how do we respond to this? What do we do? Let me give you three things. First, trust God and be restored. Place your trust in the Lord God. His promises are sure. He will not fail. Place your trust in God. When we trust God, when we place our trust in him, we are restored. Here's the next thing. Surrender to God. Surrender to God and discover his promises. The only way to the good things that God has for you and me, the only way to the good plans and the good purposes that God has for our lives, the only way is for us to surrender to him, to be willing to walk where he walks, to set aside our own idea of where we ought to go and how we ought to get there, and to surrender to the wisdom of and the guidance of the Lord God. Surrender to God. Here's the last thing. Rest in God, believing in his faithfulness. Because sometimes we can't trust the goodness of God. We can't believe in the goodness of God. Because we can't do that. We can't rest. We can't surrender things to him. We can't lay things at his feet. And so we keep picking them up. We keep pouring energy and effort into these things in our lives, these areas of our lives that we feel like we can't get right. And so we're always trying to earn it. Because we can't trust that God could love us in spite of all of our failure. We're always trying to earn his love. Because we can't trust God's goodness in our life when we're going through difficult times. When we start to go through those difficult times, we pick it all back up and we try to power our own way through it. We try to gut our own way through whatever the painful or difficult circumstance is. Look, God wants us to rest in him. Surrender to him. Trust him. So that he can renew our soul. Man, if you're here this morning and you feel like you need an 8-day nap, the good news is that the God of renewal is present in this place this morning. And all he's asking from you is for you to surrender yourself to him and to his goodness and to his guidance. If we do that this morning, we're going to find rest. We're going to find renewal. So you may be here this morning, and what you need to do is say for the first time, Lord God, I need you. please rescue me, please forgive me. I give all that I am to you. If you've never said that to the Lord and meant it, if you've never said that to the Lord and meant that today, if you'll say it to him and you'll mean it, if you surrender yourself to him today, he will fill you with his Holy Spirit. And he will lead you to rest and renewal. That's what it means to be a Christian, folks. It's not about keeping the rules. It's not about not doing the bad things and only doing the good things. It's about surrendering ourselves to him in faith. And if you'll do that this morning, God will answer your prayer. He'll pour himself into you, cause his name to dwell upon you, and lead you into new life. Man, who needs new life today? Here's what we're going to do. We are going to spend some time focusing on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's because of his sacrifice, friends. It's because of his sacrifice that rest and renewal are even available to you and I. Because what happened was Jesus Christ allowed his body to be broken and torn for you and I. Stretched out on a cross for you and I. He allowed himself to be beaten and abused. He allowed himself to be humiliated on behalf of us. He gave himself as a sacrifice for us. Jesus Christ allowed his blood to be shed for you and I. He allowed it to be poured out for you and I. And because of his shed blood, you and I can find rest and renewal and new life in him. And so that's what this moment of communion is about. It's a time for us to remember the sacrifice that our Savior made on our behalf. And on the night before Jesus was crucified, he shared a meal with his disciples, and he took the bread and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body broken for you." He took a cup and he filled it, and he said, "This is my blood shed for you." He told them to eat, he told them to drink, and he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And so this morning we are going to receive communion. We're going to remember the body of Christ broken for us, the blood of Jesus spilled for us. As we do that, I want you to come this morning, and if there's a part of your life, a place in your life that you need to surrender to him, a place where you need to trust him and his goodness, as you're receiving communion this morning, I want you to do that. Someone here this morning, you may have never surrendered your heart and your life to Christ. And I want to challenge you, cry out to the Lord this morning. "I need you. Please forgive me. I give all that I am to you." Once you say that prayer, once you surrender your heart and your life to Christ, you can come down here and you can actually take the bread and you can actually drink the juice, and you can remember the sacrifice that Christ made for you. Here's the thing. This table this morning does not belong to us. It's not our table. It's God's table. And so anyone here this morning who surrendered your heart and your life to Christ, you are welcome at the table of God. So come down here as soon as the music starts to play and receive communion. We do communion by intinction. That's a fancy word that means we tear off a piece of bread and we dip it in the cup and then we eat the piece of bread. For those of you who are not totally comfortable doing that, we have the old school, the ones in the little plastic packaging, so you can take one of those and you rip off one side and it's the juice, you rip off the other side and it's the bread, okay? You can take one of those if you're more comfortable doing that. But we're going to move right now into a time of remembrance, a time of focusing on the love of Christ and the renewal that he offers. Also down here at the front, our offering plates are down here. If you have an offering that you'd like to give this morning, you can do that while you're receiving communion. And remember, this is Give Me Five Sunday. And so if you've got $5 per person in your family that you want to give to Texas Girls and Boys Ranch, you can do that by dropping it in the offering this morning. Stand up. Let's pray together, and then let's continue in worship. Lord God, thank you for your presence here this morning. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your desire, God, to draw all of us into a relationship with you. If there's one person here this morning who has never surrendered their life to you, would you cause them to be able to do that? Give them the courage to be able to surrender themselves to you this morning. And God, as we receive communion this morning, as we reflect on the sacrifice that you made for us, help us to lay down before you any place in our lives where we need to surrender. Help us to receive from your hand new life and restoration. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.